This morning's passage in James, perhaps one of the most important Bible passages for Christians in the book. We're going to do a very short section today, verses 10 to 13. For the one who obeys the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. For the same one who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now, if you don't commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you've become a violator of the law. Speak and act as those who will be judged by a law that gives freedom. For judgment is merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. It's amazing how many places in the Bible tell us not to judge. And it's not as if we have to have a degree in ancient languages to understand what the Bible is saying. Jesus says very simply, "Judge not, so you will not be judged. For the standard by which you judge will be the standard used to measure you at your judgment." And again, he says, "Judge not." Paul tells us, "What business do you have judging your neighbor?" And he says, "Don't judge." And he says again, in another place, "Don't judge." And then James says, "Don't judge." And John says, "Don't judge." And in Revelation, we see what James means when he says, "Judgment is merciless for the one who has shown no mercy." And the writer of Hebrews says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And with all those warnings, I still have people who come up to me and say, "What does the Bible mean when it says, don't judge? Or is God really telling us we are not supposed to judge?" Well, what can I say? There are two passages in today's lesson that I think are among the most important things the Bible says. The first one I just mentioned. Judgment is merciless for the one who has shown no mercy. And the other is, mercy triumphs over judgment. If we can keep those two verses in mind, we may just find our relationships with other people will be transformed. We may even find our relationship with ourselves to be changed. It's been my experience that those who judge others are the same people who are afraid to judge themselves. And it is their fear of their own judgment that leads them to be merciless, or at least to think that they have the right to judge others. Perfect example from the Bible, King David. King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he murdered Bathsheba's husband to cover it up. He didn't actually kill Uriah himself, but he engineered his death. And apparently he felt no remorse. And so a year later, the prophet Nathan comes to him with a story about a very rich man who had lots of sheep. That's how they counted wealth in those days. His neighbor had a little lamb. That's all he had. That lamb was like a member of the family. If those of you who've lost pets will understand. Well, someone came by to visit the rich man, and instead of taking one of his own lambs, he took his neighbor's lamb and killed it and used it for the feast. And David was so angry that he determined that that rich man deserved to die. Of course, he knew that that was too strong a judgment. Nevertheless, he made it clear that that rich man deserved to die. Until Nathan said to him, "You are that rich man. You have stolen another man's wife. And not only have you stolen the wife, you've killed the man." And yet even David, who up until that point had shown no remorse, even David was shown a measure of mercy. Jesus told a parable one time that also perfectly illustrates what James is talking about. Judgment is merciless for the one who shows no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. He told a parable about a money lender who was settling accounts. He had a man who owed him $1 million. He had the man brought in front of him, and he said, "It's time to pay up." And the man said, "I can't." The money lender said, "Then we will send you to the debtor's prison until you've worked off your debt." Man fell on his knees before the rich money lender and he begged him. He said, "Please, please, just give me a chance and I will pay you back everything I owe." And a surprising thing happened. The heart of the rich man was touched, and he showed mercy. He not only gave this man the freedom to pay back his loan, he actually forgave the loan. And the man left his presence owing nothing. He no sooner left the presence of the moneylender than he came across a man who owed him $100. He grabbed him by his clothes and he said, "Pay up everything you owe me." And the man fell on his knees and begged him. He said, "Please, give me time and I'll pay you back." And the man who had just been forgiven his debt grabbed the man and dragged him to the authorities and said, "Throw this man in prison until he has paid me back everything he owes." Well, there were some friends of the moneylender who saw this, who knew what had happened to both of the men. They went to the moneylender and they told him what this man had done. The moneylender called the man back into his presence and he said, "What is this that I hear? Didn't I forgive you the debt you owed me? Didn't you leave my presence owing nothing? And now you come across someone who owes you something and you're not willing to show them mercy, when the debt they owe to you is infinitesimally smaller than the debt you owe to me. And then we learn what James means when he says, judgment is merciless for those who show no mercy. The debt that was forgiven was reinstated, and the man was thrown in prison. And if you're brave enough to read the Greek and understand what it means, it says he was tortured until he paid the last penny. This is what Hebrews means when it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What James is saying about judgment doesn't refer to me passing judgment on someone who I believe has wronged me. James is talking about people who sit back and judge that person and this person and that person who have no connection to him at all. And yet they feel they have the right to judge them and to decide exactly what they need to do if they're going to be acceptable to God. This is a difficult passage, if we really hear what it's saying. It starts out with words that take me to the Sermon on the Mount. James says, if you obey the whole law, but you fail at the smallest point, you have broken the law. The law is broken, and it's your fault. If you have a window, someone throws a stone at it, or windshield of your car, like you see in the commercials, the stone flies up and cracks the window, just a little crack. The window needs to be replaced, or at least that crack needs to be repaired. There's no such thing as just a small crack when it comes to a windshield. Anyone who obeys the whole law but fails in one point becomes guilty of it all. And then he would have to do this. He says, the same one who said don't commit adultery also said don't murder. And you know where my thoughts go when I hear that? They go back to the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, no doubt you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at another person and desire that person for yourself, you have committed adultery. No doubt you've heard it said, don't murder. But I say to you, if you are angry with your brother, the judgment of that commandment hangs over your head. If you call your brother a fool, you're setting yourself up for judgment. You put that part of the Sermon on the Mount together with what James is saying, and we begin to understand the truth of this part of Scripture. There is no one aside from Jesus Christ who has kept the law. We are, every one of us, guilty of breaking the law of God. And whether we break it in a small way or a big way really doesn't matter. The law is broken. God has offered us a way of mercy. It begins with us admitting that without mercy we are lost. It begins with us acknowledging that we owe to God a debt like that $1 million debt that we can never repay. And it also involves us realizing that there is only one person to whom God has entrusted judgment, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, God has given me the right to judge, because I don't judge by appearances. I judge the heart. The book of Proverbs tells us one person cannot know the heart of another person. In fact, one person cannot even know his own heart fully. If we do not understand our own heart and cannot understand the hearts of others, we're missing a very important ingredient that is necessary for someone who is passing judgment. Unfortunately, there are situations in life where we have to judge. A young person who's looking for a life's mate has to be able to judge, has to be able to make determinations, to decide whether this person is right for me or not. A parent is in a position where the parent also has to make certain judgments. It's a very heavy burden. The only thing worse than the burden of having to make judgments is what happens to our children if we don't judge at all. So we're in a dilemma. We need to be discerning. We need to make judgments. And yet we are told, do not judge. How is this to be solved? I think James gives us a clue when he tells us mercy triumphs over judgment. We say that God is just, and we are glad that we do. We're glad He is. Because we depend on Him to even the scores that don't get evened in this life. We depend on Him to punish the murderer who gets away with murder. We count on Him to hold accountable those who cause us pain. We also need to depend on Him to forgive us when we are the cause of pain. Most people who find it very easy to judge others are people who do not really take seriously the depth of their own need for God's forgiveness. If there is anyone, aside from Jesus, who is worthy to pass judgment on another person, it is someone like the woman who was caught in adultery. Who was forgiven of her sin and told by Jesus, go now and sin no more. Or perhaps the woman who came up to Jesus at the Pharisee's house when he was having a feast. She wasn't invited. She heard that Jesus was there. She came before Jesus and knelt down before him, was going to anoint his feet with oil, but instead found she couldn't stop the tears from flowing. She washed his feet with her own tears and wiped them with her hair. There is someone who perhaps is worthy to pass judgment, because there is someone who knows the value of mercy. Until we realize what it has cost Jesus to forgive us, until we no longer take our sin to be such a trivial thing while pointing our fingers and judging others, until then, we had better be very, very careful how we judge. Because the standard we use to judge others will be the standard that will be used to judge us. I think of this whenever I have the nerve to turn on the TV news and hear the news, which is always just politics, it's never really news. And I hear that one party has done something and the other party has decided they have a field day and they're gonna pass judgment on what the one party has done, without regard for the fact that 2 years ago they did the same thing. I think justice will be kept very busy in judging politicians. David excluded, of course. But what we see in them is just a picture of what we have a tendency to do ourselves if we're not careful. It is very easy to pass judgment on others, thinking that we know what they are doing and why they are doing it, when we have no idea why we do the things we do, and no awareness of how the things we do cause pain in the lives of others. And yet, we sit on our thrones and we pass judgment. This is one reason I have quit listening to the evening news. Because I found myself so often sitting in my easy chair with the news on, having them tell me what's going on in Washington or New York or California. And I found myself going like this, passing judgment. And if what I'm doing makes it easier for me to pass judgment, I had better quit doing it. And so I decided, you know what, for 60 years I've been listening to the news. I've had my opinions about the stories on the news. The news never changes. What difference does it make whether I hear it or not? And if not hearing it makes me a better person, I'll turn it off. There are many things in this life that make it easy for us to pass judgment on others. And too often, the easiest place for judgment to take place is in the home. A child experiences judgment from his parents and grows to be a father who judges his children. A child watches her parents argue back and forth, hears the parents put the other parent down in their presence or not in their presence. And as far as they know, that's the way life goes. You find fault, not with yourself, with the other. You complain about the other and use the other as an excuse for why you are not what you should be. Human nature is bad enough. You put it together with an environment in which judgment is passed off as easily as the common cold. Is it any wonder we have a natural tendency to judge? And the sad thing is, most of us have even done it to ourselves. We pass judgment on ourselves. We don't like something about ourselves. We condemn ourselves because all our lives, that's what we've received. You're no good. You can't do it. You might as well quit trying. Get out of my hair. I wish you hadn't been born. And then we go through life playing those tapes over and over. You know, it's amazing. Just like me watching the news. When watching the news makes me so angry, why do I do it? When playing those tapes is so self-destructive, why do we do it? We do it because we do it. We judge ourselves. Except those who have learned to put a pretty thick coating over themselves, so that they don't see their own faults, they only see the faults of others. So can you see why James would say that for the Christian, living in a Christian community, judging one another is the worst thing that you can do? Because judgment will not release you from your own judging. Only those who learn mercy can survive judgment. And mercy is a very difficult thing to learn. Because those who show mercy to everybody create an environment in which evil is never punished, and evil thrives. We all face the problem of knowing how far to go with mercy, how often to forgive, how lenient we dare to be. It's not an easy thing. Judging is easy. Mercy is hard. We have been called to be people of mercy. And I think the only way we can learn how to be merciful is to allow Jesus to show us how deeply we need mercy. And then to invite us to receive his mercy, to be transformed by his mercy, and become people who show mercy to others. Heavenly Father, we're afraid not to judge. We're afraid that if we don't judge evil, evil will thrive. We don't understand that in an environment of judgment, goodness cannot survive. And so we pray that you would help us. Help us to understand how judgment is necessary, but how necessary mercy is, as a tempering influence as a seasoning for justice. Help us to be known not as people who judge, but as people who have learned the mystery of how to show mercy. Through Christ we pray. Amen.